morning. It's a joy and a thrill to be here, and I thank your pastor for inviting me. It's just lovely, and I've brought two of my workers with me, two of my pastors, and we're just thrilled to be here and have sweet fellowship with you. I have, what, half an hour? Okay. And I want to share the difference between Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, and Peter, who denied him. I want you to look at these two people this morning and find out where you are. Will you turn to Matthew's Gospel, please? I'll put my glasses on. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. And we'll read from verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Will you turn over to Luke's Gospel? Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And we'll read from verse 22 from verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him, and denied him, saying, Woman, I know not. And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Father, this morning, already we're conscious of your presence. Would you move from seat to seat and from heart to heart and speak to us? And may all of us leave this morning loving you as we have never loved before. We ask it all, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. What was the difference between Judas, who betrayed him, and Peter, who denied him? If I went round every one of you and asked you that question, what would you say? To me, the difference is one word, love. Love. A man may be passionately in love with music and yet be a bad musician. This was Peter. Peter was in love with Christ, but he was weak and he denied him. Judas, on the other hand, did not love Christ. Seemingly, he was with him, but he was only with him for his own agenda. If you're with Jesus today for your own agenda, you don't really love him. The fact that he sold him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, shows his unregenerated heart. Yes, that was the vital difference between Peter and Judas. Peter loved Christ. Judas didn't. Peter loved Christ. Judas didn't. The fact that Christ asked Peter in John chapter 21 on the shore of Galilee three times, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" proves this. Imagine, here is the risen Lord, the conqueror of heaven and earth and hell, the conqueror of 150 billion galaxies, and all he is concerned about is whether a fisherman loves him. Isn't that amazing? Now that shows me the real character of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's looking for this morning? Love. He's looking for love for every one of you. And isn't it strange? On the night of the betrayal in the garden, when Judas kissed Jesus, Jesus didn't say to Judas, "Do you love me?" He knew he didn't. He just said, "Friend," or as the Greek has it, "comrade." Christ knows here this morning who loves him and who doesn't. And that's the thing that concerns me. Christ knows this morning who loves him and who doesn't. And friend, you too know in your heart whether you love him or don't love him. This is X-ray time. This is X-ray time. You either know in your heart whether you love him or you don't love him. The Lord Jesus put it this way, and I think it's beautiful. In John 14, he says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." The recovery of Peter was that Christ prayed for him. I hear people saying to me, "Jim, I always remember you in my prayers." And that's lovely. But there's someone else who always remembers me in his prayers. Do you know this morning Christ is praying for you? Do you know this morning that he has your interests at heart? Christ prayed for Peter. Judas never recovered. Do you know why? Because Christ didn't say to Judas, "I have prayed for thee." And every prayer that Christ prays is answered. Remember when he came to the tomb of Lazarus? What did he say before he said, "Lazarus, come forth"? He said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that you hear me always." Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. So when he mentioned my name this morning, the Father heard him. Yeah. When he mentioned your name this morning, the Father heard him. Yeah. 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 Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Yeah. What do you think of that? Isn't he a wonderful Savior? He said, he didn't say to Judas, "I have prayed for thee," but then here's what he did say: "Judas, what thou doest, do quickly." Are you getting me a glass of water? God bless you. I'll remember you in my will. He says, "What thou doest, do quickly." It is interesting to note again the difference between these two men. These two men are here this morning. Isn't that sad? These two women are here this morning. They'll be here in the next service. They'll be here. Judas said to the Jewish leaders in Matthew 26, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast." And forthwith he came and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. The Greek word for kiss here is, are you ready? To kiss, to kiss, to kiss, to kiss, to kiss. That's how much Judas kissed Jesus in the garden. But sure, that's happening in churches all over the United States this morning. That's happening in churches all over the Western world this morning. They're kissing him and kissing him and kissing him. Judas made sure those collection of kisses would ensure his money from the chief priests. Judas's kisses were deceitful. How many deceitful kisses have you, sir and lady, planted on the Son of God through the years? Think about that. Now watch the contrast. If you go to Luke's account in chapter 22, what we read, you'll hear Peter, and you'll see Peter denying his Lord in the space of an hour and a half three times. And at the third time, the cock crew. And just at that moment, we are told, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. The third time, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. That look from our Lord exploded Peter into 1,000 pieces. But listen, brothers and sisters, it wasn't a look of, I told you so. It was a look of love, a look of compassion, a look that penetrated right into his being. The look broke Peter's heart. Now watch this. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the same Greek verb for Judas's kiss is also the Greek verb for Peter's weeping. He wept, he wept, he wept, he wept, he wept, until he could never stop. That's how much Peter loved Jesus. How much do you love him this morning? Only you can answer that. I can't answer that. How much do you love him this morning? I have loved him from a boy of 8 as an orphan. And suppose somebody said, well, you had no crutch, only him. Some crutch. He made me what I am this day. And listen, for a man that has had 4 bypasses, a valve, 4 surgeries on kidneys, and cancer already in his body, he still has made a good job of me. That's why I love him. That's why I love him. And I love him with all of my heart. Why the difference, love? Do you love Jesus? Am I talking to someone this morning like Peter, who is on the downward road to calamity? And notice Peter's decline. On the night they arrested the Lord, we are told in Matthew 26, Peter followed afar off. He saw the multitude taking Jesus. He saw the torches and the lanterns. And then he stopped. Then they went on a bit and he stopped. Then he followed a bit more. They went on a bit and he stopped. And he stopped and he started. He stopped and he started. Peter followed afar off. Many Peters are here this morning. Many Peters are here this morning. Pastor, what should I be doing? You should be with him, walking with him to Caiaphas' palace. You should be walking with him, not following afar off, stopping and starting. Then something else. Peter, when he got there, the decline continued. He warmed himself at the fire. He warmed himself at the fire. He was warming himself at the devil's fire. Whose fire are you warming yourself at? Whose fire are you warming yourself at? He warmed himself at the fire. That's when the 2 maids come in. And if you're warming yourself at the devil's fire, somebody's going to talk to you and ask you who you are and what you are. and you're going to be embarrassed. And Peter was embarrassed. And he said, I don't know him. I don't know him. And in fact, on another account it says, he denied him with oaths and curses. And you know, it's remarkable. When you fall back, it's amazing how the old sins return. Peter had a dirty mouth. Do you know any Americans with a dirty mouth? Peter had a dirty mouth. And the third time, Peter's dirty mouth returned. He denied him with oaths and cursing because the young girl said, you're a Galilean because your speech betrays you. And then we are told Peter sat down among them. Here's the final decline. He warmed himself at the fire. Then he was made welcome. And Peter sat down among them. And that's when all the denial began. But the look brought him back. Because when he sat there and Jesus came out from another door and their eyes met, the look brought Peter back. Let's bring this forward to our day and generation. I want to talk about a church. Church in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. It was a great church, stood firm for the truth, but something was missing that greatly grieved Christ. What was it? Love. Brilliant in doctrine, brilliant in knowledge, exposing false apostles. But he said, I have somewhat against thee. You have left your first love. Love was missing. Love for him, love to him. It was a great church, but it was mechanical. There's many churches in America, and they're great churches, but they're mechanical. There's many churches in Northern Ireland, and they're great churches, but they're mechanical. You know what's happening and that's what's going to happen. They have a program. They've it all set out. Nobody disturbs the program. There's no room for God, the Holy Ghost, to fall in the place. There's no room for God to deal with hearts. It was mechanical. That was the church at Ephesus. It was hard. And you see, if you become very doctrinal, you become hard. You become arrogant. And you become judicial. But the Lord says, nevertheless, in spite of all this, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. If you read the Greek text, it says, I have a grave complaint against you. A grave complaint. What's your complaint? Look what we're doing, love. Lord, we have a great missionary program. We're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing the other thing. That may be so, but I'm not in it. And do you know why I'm not in it? Because my nature is love. My nature is love. God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave what? Not money. I hear preachers using that as an illustration to give a good offering. No! Here's the greatest offering of all. He gave his only begotten Son. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Isn't he a wonderful Savior this morning? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will I take another drink? Am I all right yet for time? You all right? Yeah. All right, Pastor McConnell. Seeing that you know so much, how do I maintain that love? How do I maintain that love? How do I keep loving? Are you ready? Keep remembering. That's how you maintain that love. Keep remembering. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, he became an Anglican clergyman, and he had a great text above his mantelpiece every morning that he came down to breakfast. And the great text was from the book of Deuteronomy, and this is what it said. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bond slave in the land of Egypt, and I redeemed thee. Is it not lovely? Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bond slave in the land of Egypt, and I redeemed thee. And John Newton ate his breakfast and looked at that text, looking back at him. That's how you keep love in your heart. Have you stopped remembering? Have you stopped remembering? There's a lot of ministers and they've stopped remembering. Caught up with all sorts of things. But they've stopped remembering. And the Lord sees them and he says, fair enough. But is it really my kingdom that you're extending, or is it your own? Is this the world of tomorrow that you're establishing, or is it your own world? As he said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this cosmos. If it was, then would my servants fight. My kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is the kingdom of love. Can I hear a praise the Lord? I'm closing. Let's go back to Judas. From that time he sought opportunity to betray him. You know what that's like? He was looking an opportunity to backslide. There's plenty of those opportunities, isn't there? He was looking an opportunity to backslide. He was looking an opportunity to be faithless. Boy, the opportunities to be faithless are all around us today. You've got to be like the Lord. In Luke 9 and 51, it says, and when the time was come, he steadfastly. When the time was come, he knew it 6 months ahead. When the time was come, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The word steadfastly is, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He was determined to pay the price for your sins and for mine. What a wonderful Savior he is. But Judas sought opportunity. And you know what an old Puritan described Judas? The man who kissed the gate of heaven and went to hell. Isn't that amazing? The man who kissed the gate of heaven and went to hell. Another Puritan. Gosh, who's these Puritans? I was brought up with the Puritans. They're hard to read, but they're great. Every now and again you pick out a golden sentence. The man who kissed the gate of heaven and went to hell. That's what Spurgeon was brought up. He used to take out these golden sentences. Here's another one. Judas, the man who sold the pearl of greatest price for 30 pieces of silver. Isn't that amazing? The man who sold the pearl of greatest price for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. But Pastor Judas repented, yes. He says, I've betrayed the innocent. But he repented too late. And that's the solemn note of our message this morning. You can repent too late. Look at the times Judas had opportunities to repent, as well as opportunities to backslide and opportunities to betray his Lord. He repented too late. He went to the chief priest for the money. And he said to the chief priest, I have sinned. And that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And you know what they said? What is that to us? See you to it. As Matthew Henry put it, old Matthew Henry in 1600, he says, sin is a brat that nobody wants to own. Sin is a brat that nobody wants to own. And they said, see you to it. And he threw the money down at their feet. And he went out and he hanged himself. So what was the difference this morning between Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, and Peter, who denied him? One word, love. I'm coming to you this morning with this message. Do you love him? And how much do you love him? And will you continue to love him? And will you love him for time and for eternity? Listen to the text again. If a man will love me, He shall be loved of me and of my Father. And I love the plural. And we will come and make our abode with him. Doubly loved by the Father and the Son, and us loving him in return. Thank you for listening to me this morning, and may the Lord richly bless you. And everybody said,
amen.
Will you close your eyes? Bow your head. Now, I don't know. I know it seems here that maybe everybody here are believers, but is there a person here this morning? Now, every head is bowed. There's no one watching, only myself, and I don't want anybody watching. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, is there a person here this morning? And you're not right with God, but you would love to be right with God. If there is, would you just quickly lift up your hand and take it down again, and I will pray for you. Is there one this morning? Is there one who will say, Pastor McConnell, God bless you. God bless you at the back. God bless you. God bless you at the back. Thank you. Is there another one this morning who's not right with God, but you want to be right with God? Will you lift up your hand and say, and the lifting of that hand will say, Pastor McConnell, will you pray for me? Is there another one this morning? Is there another one this morning? Quickly, right now, there's another one. God bless you. Thank you. Is there someone else this morning? God bless you. Sarah, way at the back. Is there another one this morning? Quickly and quietly. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Is there another one this morning? Oh, I know there is. I feel there is. That's four people. Is there another one this morning who would say, Pastor McConnell, I know I'm not right with God. I'm following afar off, but I want to follow with him. I want to walk with him. Is there somebody who wants to walk with him this morning? Would you lift up that hand? I'll pray for you. Come on, right now. Right now. How earnest are you? How faithful are you? How faithful do you want to be? Is there another one this morning? Just slip up that hand. I'll see it. Is there another one? Is there another one this morning? Is there one more this morning? Just lift up that hand. Four people have lifted up their hands. Is there another one this morning? I'm going to change it for a minute. Is there somebody here? God bless you, sir. God bless you. That's five. God bless you. Holy Spirit speaking. And he's speaking intimately. This is about love. This is about a relationship. That's what salvation is about. It's not just an escape from hell, which Judas went to. It says he went to his own place. But the believer Christ has a place prepared for them. And he's lovely. Five adults have responded this morning. Now, I'm asking, is there someone, and you're in a backslidden condition, and you've been in that condition a long time, will you change it and say, from now on, I'm dropping everything and I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him and follow him. Is there a man, is there a woman honest enough this morning and courageous enough to say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to get right with God. Is there another one for the last time? For the last time. I feel that there is. For the last time, you're in a backslidden condition. Say, I'm going to get right with God from now. Slip up that hand and I'll see it. God bless you. A young person, God bless that wee person. Is there another one this morning for the last time? This is the last call I'm making. Because I feel the Spirit has spoken to our hearts and awakened us. To our need of him, not to our need of this and our need of that, to our need of him. This is the last time I'm asking. Six people have raised their hand. Is there another one? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you, dear friend, this morning? Come on, where are you? Are you going to take the plunge? plunge into that ocean of love that he has for you. For the last time, and this is the last time, will you raise that hand? Then, my dear friend, I'm going to leave the issue with you, and may God richly bless you. And those six people that raised their hand, that took courage, because there's not so many here this morning. There'll be more at the next service, but that took courage. Would you welcome them into the kingdom of God? Would you welcome them, every one of them? God bless them. Now put your hands out like this. You see me? Put your hands out like this. Will you pray this prayer? Father, I come to thee. I come to thee in the name of your lovely Son, the darling of your bosom. Take me as I am and save me for time and eternity. Come into my heart and rule in my heart. Put your kingdom within me. Put your love within me. Help me to love you with all my heart. Cleanse me in the blood that you shed for me. And make me clean. And anoint me by the power of your Spirit, that from this hour I might serve thee, not following thee afar off, but walking with you. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for having me. Amen. And I'll be talking about this. God bless you.